you. Good morning. A little nervous this morning, but ready to dig in. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to teach this class. It's a little intimidating. We have some great men here who are more than qualified to continue to teach this class. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity. It's always an overwhelming and awesome responsibility when you're asked to open God's Word and teach from it. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start reading in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And today in our day and age, we're seeing many of these things unfolding in our time. We turn on the news and we hear of wars and rumors of wars. I was looking at this app on my phone just this morning again. Just this morning, there have been 37 earthquakes, 844 this week, this past week, and over 1,000 this month. Significant ones this year, 8.1 in Mexico, 7.1 in Mexico, 6.9 in Chile, 6.9 in Guatemala, 6.5 in Botswana. There's earthquakes in diverse places. And though we don't need more signs for his coming can be at any time. We often talk about the coming of Jesus is imminent and we should always be ready. The signs are growing even more and more of the end. And it's easy during those times to become depressed, to become anxious, to become overwhelmed about all that we're seeing happen. We turn on the news and we hear of North Korea and wonder, boy, is this crazy man going to try to fire a nuclear missile at us? Is he going to attack South Korea? What is he going to do? We hear of civil unrest just within our own country, these little factions and groups rising up and causing just mischief and starting trouble, and there's conflict constantly. And again, it's easy to become anxious over these things. I hear people at work, and I have some friends of mine that will talk, they're not Christians, but they'll talk about global warming, and they get all concerned about, man, it is getting so hot, we're going to burn up, this world's not going to last much longer. And I'll try to talk some sense, talk about, well, you know, things are cyclical, things run in trends, and if we're only looking at the last 40 years of data, that's not a large enough sample size, in my opinion, to determine which way things are going. But anyway, I'll talk to them about that. I want to show you one verse. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, because I always end with this, because they know I'm a Bible believer. They know I trust God's word. And so I tell them, I said, ultimately, you could have all this so-called science and all the so-called scientists say, well, this is what's happening and this is what's going on, but I'll take God's word over theirs any day. And in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." I'll take God's word for it. I'm not worried about it. So they look at me and they're like, "Oh, you don't care." Well, yeah, okay, I don't make the world my dump. I don't just throw garbage out the window and be a poor steward of it. But at the same time, I'm not going to tell everyone that is doing anything I disagree with, "Oh, you can't leave your car." Honestly, if global warming were real, I might leave my car running another hour because I'm sick of the cold. but anyway, and I have said, and I also do, in a way, believe in global warming, but that's much later. We see in 2 Peter 3:12, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. But that said, you know, current events can really cause angst, and we can really get worked up over it. My wife and I, we used to watch the news. She would like to once in a while, but she puts it on, and it gets a couple minutes in. She's like, do I need to shut this off? Because I'll start going, you know, and then I'm yelling at the TV, and I'm shouting at it, and it just, it's not good. It's not pretty. And I just can't take it. And not that I unplug completely. I still use Reuters, and I'll check AP, but I cannot stand hearing a bunch of people's opinions and their slants on things. I can form my own opinion. I have some intelligence. I'll do it myself. So I just want the news. That's all I want. But the lesson I had this morning, I'm going to be transparent. I have battled anxiety for years and years, and it's been a struggle, and it's hindered me from a lot of things. And this year, at the beginning of the year, I begged God that he would help me overcome it. I can see clearly where it started and what few events led up to it, honestly taking somewhat control of my life. And it was a battle. And I told the Lord, there were a few things. It's really kind of funny, but it's sweet to see how the Lord works. I asked God if he would give me opportunity to teach that I would do it. And he's given me a few this year. I asked the Lord, I told him, and Pastor doesn't know this, I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, there was a Sunday, I believe, where Pastor was really struggling with his voice, and I was like, I've done that. I really don't want to, but Lord, if you want me to and you open opportunity, I'll help out with song services. And it's just been, there were other challenges. I was like, Lord, I battled with this because of anxiety and this and this and this. And I was like, Lord, if you give me opportunity and the grace, because it's going to take a lot of it, I'll do those things again. And the Lord's just really been so good to me. And it's been but his grace that has helped me through. And so this morning, I'm just going to go over a few things. And turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. And this is really my text. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to start reading in verse 12 of Luke chapter 19. The Bible says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his ten servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping what I did not sow, that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I may have required mine own with usury? I want to focus this morning on that verse 13, and we're going to turn to many other scriptures, which I'm here to hear from the Word of God, not from me, I hope, because you'd be disappointed just hearing from me. But we're going to look at verse 13. The Bible says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Let's pray and we'll dig in. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that we can find instruction for day-to-day living and for our lives in it. God, I pray that you would help us to see these things. Father, I pray that you would help me as I teach this lesson. God, I pray that you would put a guard at my mouth. Father, I pray that you would help me to be a blessing and an encouragement. And Father, we ask that you would do a mighty work in our midst today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to try to check the time. Okay. Wow. Time is going quick already. Good grief. I probably have too much. Anyway, occupy. The word occupy doesn't mean simply to take up space or to be filling up time, but it has the idea of to carry on business. We have work to do. There are things that we're supposed to be doing. So we're going to kind of take this from two perspectives because I believe they go hand in hand. I'm going to talk about occupying as far as having an impact, us having an impact on the world around us and the Word of God having an impact on us, and also how that can help us in dealing with any anxieties we may have. We've all heard from time to time, I'm sure, I've heard it many times, someone's gone through a hard time and people will say, well, hang in there. Jesus is coming soon, or hang in there, it'll be over in a little while, or just keep on. And I don't believe that Christ had that in mind for us to just hang on, just to cling and hope that we make it through. But I think God has much more in store for us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to thrive. The other title I was going to give this was, don't just survive, thrive. Let's make something of it. Jesus is there and willing to give us the grace and equip us for the task at hand. Number one, I believe the number one thing we can do to occupy effectively is to be in God's Word. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to give two reasons why I believe it's very important for us to get in God's Word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The number one reason is I believe we will find a great peace when we're abiding in God's Word. This year, one of the things I try, and I'm not a big resolutions guy. In fact, I think I've only done it the last 2 years. One thing I told the Lord was I wanted to spend more time in His Word. And I said, Lord, I'm busy, but we all are, right? And so I asked Him, if you'll show me the times when I have downtime, I'm not doing anything else, and I could be spending it in your Word instead of scrolling through Facebook or watching TV, but I have downtime, help me to realize those times and to spend more time in your Word. And time after time, all I had to do was ask. He made it very evident where I was wasting my time. And man, it's been sweet. And because I was filling my mind with the Word of God, verse 8 was very easy. Thinking on these things was very simple because that was on my mind. And so some of the anxieties, things I was worried about, I wasn't thinking about them because my mind was on His Word. I was seeing the promises. And that brings me to point number two. We not only then control our thought life, but in Colossians, just over a page or two, Colossians 1 verse 15, the Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. when we get in God's word, we also remember not only do we get peace, but we remember he's in control. He has power. It's a reminder of God's control. As we read through the Bible, we see in creation that God is omnipotent. He has all power. And he can deliver us from whatever. As we saw, he delivered Daniel from the lion's den. And we can remember, wow, God's delivered people through the ages. We see the Red Sea divided and remember God's control over creation. And so when we get in trouble is when, like Peter, we get our eyes on the circumstances and the things around us and off of him and his word. Because when we get our eyes on his word, the storms can blow and they can howl and they can bombard us, and we can still have peace. And we can remember that he's the one that does bring peace. So, and then we see in the New Testament, we see Jesus working miracle after miracle, and we can be reminded that he's still at work today. That wasn't just for those saints in the Bible. God has so much in store for us. And another thing that we can be challenged to do is to focus on our prayer life. When we pray, expect an answer and look for those answers. That's my second point, is prayer. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says there, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We ought to be spending time in prayer for our leaders, for those in authority. We have no right to complain about what they're doing or how they're acting if we're not at least spending time in prayer. In fact, maybe the next time we're thinking of complaining about what's going on, let's get on our knees and pray about what's going on and ask God to work. The Bible talks about the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it. God's in control. Let him be. Again, I think we get our focus so much on man and what man's doing, we forget that there's an almighty God who rules in the affairs of men. Under that, I have pray for laborers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, talks about praying for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. If we're not reaching the lost with the gospel and praying that God would raise up laborers, we're not helping. In fact, the more people are reached, the more peace we'll see. We'll be able to dwell together in unity because we'll have a like mind. So we need to pray for these things. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 6. See if I can find it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I find it, I'm going to try not to go into my next point too quickly, but I find it so important that we come together on Wednesday nights and we have a prayer list. And grab that prayer bulletin. Go through it. Pray for the folks in there. Be intercessors for one another. Bear ye one another's burdens. One of the things I found, and I was challenged on this a few years ago, was to pray more for others than myself. I found myself praying a lot for me and my problems and my needs, and what was I doing? I'm dwelling on my problems and my needs, and it just stirs everything up again. But when I get my mind on another's burden and praying for their burdens and trying to help them, it gets my eyes off of me and my problems. Intercessory prayer is so vital, and it gives us an impact. Again, I talked about having an impact. Reading God's word, if I don't have that peace and see God's power, I lose my influence if I'm anxious. If I'm anxious, I curl up and I'm all about me and my world, and I lose my impact on others. And the world looks at that and they say, he's a Christian and he's just as worried about everything as I am. But when I have that peace in the storms, they see something's different and want to know, how in the world are you making it in spite of these things that you're experiencing? In prayer, we can have an impact on our world through prayer. It might not even be going out and knocking 1,000 doors a week, but praying that God would send laborers is having an impact. Praying for our leaders that God would control them, that God would move them to make certain decisions, we're having an impact. Praying for others, we're having an impact in their lives. We're actually making an investment because you're investing your time in prayer and you're making an investment in an individual as well. The Bible says in the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I dare say many of us, myself included, many of us don't seem to take that verse very seriously. Because if we did, I believe we'd be more fervent in prayer. If we really believed that our prayer would move heaven and move the hand of God to do things, I think we would do more in prayer, spend more time in prayer. It wouldn't be, oh, well, I think I have 10 minutes I can pray. It would be, Lord, I need you more and more. I don't remember the quote exactly, but there was a man that was asked how he found time to spend hours and hours in prayer. And he said, with as much as I have to do, if I don't, or he said, I can't afford not to spend hours and hours of time in prayer. The more we have on us, honestly, the more we should be in prayer. The more we should be seeking God's counsel and his wisdom. But again, we need to spend time in prayer to occupy as we ought to. Number three, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says there in Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It is so important that we come together when these doors are open. It is so vital that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves. I hate missing a service. Not because, oh, I hope people notice that I'm here, but because what am I going to miss from God that he had for me in that service? What am I going to miss out on because I stayed home to watch a game or, oh, I have a sniffle? And now if you're sick and you're throwing up, please, like, don't bring it to me. but I'm amazed. I've known people that just sore throat. Oh, are you staying home? No. Why would I stay home with a sore throat? I'd go to work. Amen. Why would I stay home from church where I'm going to hear from God's word? That's me. I hate missing church. I hate it. And the Bible actually says in this passage, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If anything, we ought to be more focused on getting into God's house and more focused on trying to make the time to be here. And when we come to church, we ought to come, I heard the saying as a little boy a lot, come with your cup up. Don't come looking to pick at someone or pick at the message or, oh, let's see what he has to say. Come with your cup up. Expect a blessing. Expect God to do something. I have found there have been services I've sat in where I really wasn't getting much from the message. But then the pastor said, turn to such and such a verse. And honestly, it wasn't even the verse he had us turning to, but the one before or the one right after that caught my eye. And the Lord spoke to me and gave me something from it. Another great reason to turn to the verses, not just listen along. If you have your attendance sheets and prayer requests, if you could slip those in the offering plate, that'd be great as the men come around. But come with your cup up expecting a blessing. God's not wanting you to come and waste your time. God has something for you every time you're in this building, every time you're in God's house. But also, don't just come looking to receive a blessing. Come to be a blessing. I will tell you, and I know this for sure, there are times I'm sure Pastor sits up here and he sees someone and it encourages his heart that they're in the building, that they're here to hear from God's word. It happens all the time. Come to be a blessing. Go out of your way maybe to talk with someone. There might even be someone who's hoping, oh, I hope so-and-so is here because I really want to either share a blessing with them or I want to share a burden with them that they can help me with. And if you're not here, you've missed out on being a blessing. And I'll tell you what, and I'm sure you've all experienced, and I'm probably not covering anything new for you. This is probably all refresher, but we all need that reset button pressed once in a while. We need that examining ourselves once in a while. But you know as well as I do, when you're a blessing to someone else, it's a blessing to you. It encourages you. It gives you a charge. It's, wow, that was great. I'm so glad I was there to help so-and-so, or I'm so glad I was there to be there for someone, a brother or sister. The Bible talks about exhorting one another there in the same verse. It says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. We should be here building one another up. That leads into the second point I have under that, letter B, fellowship. We should, our nearest and dearest friends shouldn't be those of the world. Amen. They really shouldn't. If you look over with me at Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's really hard for us as iron to sharpen iron when it's with someone who can't even relate to us in our Christianity. We're not going to get sharpened by someone who has no concept of what we're talking about when we're like, hey, look at this verse that I saw this morning in my Bible reading. They're not going to be able to relate. They're not going to be able to help. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Honestly, if we have friends that are lost and they don't get saved, we're probably going to have some difficulty even getting along because our thoughts are not the same, or they largely shouldn't be the same. We ought to have good, godly Christian friends and sharpening one another. I've found such encouragement and such blessing in, I'll give a great example, Masters Men and King's Daughters. It's a Friday night. It can be tough. I know some people work Saturday morning. I work Saturday morning. My alarm will go off 3:30 in the morning Saturday morning, but I'm going to do my best to be here for Masters Men when I can, because it is such a blessing to sit in a room full of men who have like passions, like faith. And the message we hear is always a blessing and encouragement. I really encourage you, if you don't already, make the effort to be here on those Fridays for Masters Men and King's Daughters, because I am sure, if you come with your cup up, I am sure you'll walk out with a blessing. And it's just good. It's good to be sitting with other guys. I can't emphasize it enough. Church attendance and faithfulness to the programs of the church, such a blessing. And again, our impact. If iron sharpening iron, and we're helping each other keep in check, and we're encouraging and edifying one another, when we go out into the community, they're going to see it. They're going to see that there's something different over there at Lighthouse Baptist Church. They're going to see there's something different in our lives, and we'll be encouraging one another to reach the lost with the gospel. We can have an impact through that. And then again, and I'll go back to it, the anxiety. I battled with anxiety, and there were times I didn't want to go out, really. Not that I'm a little different. As a kid, I did not like being around people, and I couldn't talk in front of people. It's a miracle that I'm standing here. I was in high school, and I would not get up in front of 8 classmates to give a report to get extra privileges because I was scared to death. I was like, I'll do without. I'm not getting. So when God spoke to me and called me to preach, I was like, seriously, me? I'm scared to death to get up in front of 4 people, much less in front of a congregation. And again, God equips. Anyway, I'm chasing rabbits. But there are times I didn't want to go because of anxieties that I'd have. But I found as I'd come, the blessing and the encouragement, just getting there. The whole drive might be, oh man, I'm not feeling this at all. But when I'd get here, and honestly, I believe it's a tactic of the enemy. I believe it's a tactic to keep us pressed down, keep us subdued, keep us quiet, so we're not impacting the community. So we're not impacting those around us, our coworkers. They see us. They know what we're going through a lot of times. And they're seeing it. To have a great impact, get in God's word, be faithful in prayer, be faithful in church attendance. And I'm going to try to tackle this one also real quick. Number 4, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. The Bible says, Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And also over in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want to encourage us to be faithful. The Bible talks about that falling away, that apostasy. And again, being here and being with other believers will keep us from that falling away, from becoming apostate, from getting out of church. I've had friends who I worked with in church and served with who have fallen away. And it is, without question, one of the hardest things to see. Off back in the world, whether it's because they weren't of us to begin with or whatever, or they just, honestly, I've seen a couple that I know with them, it was things, one or two things that happened and just seemed to build up and build up and build up, and then they're like, does God even care? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And again, had they been faithful in fellowship and faithful in their Bible reading and consistent in their prayer life, not that those questions don't come, because I've battled them before. I've wondered, Lord, I'm doing the best I can to serve you faithfully. Why are you allowing this in my life? Why? And then sometimes I understand that God's in control and it's his prerogative what he allows in my life, but I didn't respond right. He might have wanted me to be a blessing to someone in another way through my proper response, but instead I got hurt and felt God's failed me. He's left me on my own, left me for dead. And a response is vital. And again, that iron sharpening iron. I have a couple friends that I can call anytime. And they'll let me know. And sometimes they'll put me in my place. And they'll say, are you doing this? Are you doing this? And I'll give you one example real quick. My goodness, I'm running out of time. I had a situation come up where I thought I needed to speak with someone about an issue. And I didn't even know if it was a real problem between me and the person, but I felt maybe I was getting bitter. And I called one friend and I said, hey, do you think I should call so-and-so and, you know, just make sure? And these people were aware of the situation. And he was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, what? No, you were supposed to say no. You don't know them anything. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. You should. I was like, well, what does he know? So I called someone else, and I was like, hey, do you think I should call this person about this issue? And they said yes. And I was just like, surely, my wife will be on my side. So I said, dear, do you think I should, because she was part of this, she knew what happened, she was there. I said, do you think I ought to call this person? I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years. And she's like, yeah, actually, I do. I don't know what kind of support system I have. They're supposed to just tell me what I want to hear. But I'll tell you what, I made that phone call that afternoon, and the burden lifted off my shoulders like I can't even explain. Because I had those friends that would iron sharpening iron. I had those faithful friends who knew the Word of God and knew, hey, if this is an issue, by what God says, you ought to handle it this way. Faithfulness. By being faithful, we can have a greater impact on our community. 1 Corinthians 4:2 talks about, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It might not be the biggest work. We might not see the largest results. We might not see any results. Adoniram Judson, 6 years on the mission field and not one convert. How many churches would have dropped him and been like, you know what, you're not effective. Why are we supporting you? 6 years and not one convert? Come on. Yet he was faithful and the Lord blessed his faithfulness. And we've seen years later the work that God was doing through him being faithful. God doesn't call on us to have the largest impact, but he does call on us to be faithful. And years and years and years of that faithfulness, it might be even after we're off the scene. I think of Abraham. Abraham didn't see his seed multiplied as the stars of heaven. He didn't get to see it. But through the eye of faith, he saw it. And years later, God's faithful. God's faithful who promised, so let's be faithful to him. And then in Matthew chapter 25, the last verse I have here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. The Bible says, this was to the servant, similar account as what we read in Luke, but he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. God's looking for faithful men and women who will just trust him, be faithful to him, and have an impact. Again, we might not even see the impact. We might not even know that that person we handed a tract to later on got saved and maybe went to Bible college and maybe pastored a church and maybe led. I know of men that found out years later that someone they had witnessed to over and over and over again and never saw any result and later found out they were in missions. Mm-hmm. Talk about a blessing to find out that those years of faithfulness, to get to see it. That's pretty sweet, but we might not get to see it. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for today, Lord, and God, we can be so easily distracted by the things around us, by the events of today, by our culture, by our world that we're living in. We can be easily discouraged. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to be an impact on our community, on our state, on our country, and on our world, Father. God, I pray that you would help us to get a vision for seeing you do more things. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I'm sure there's many here who have been faithful and are doing these things, and I pray that this would be an encouragement to them to continue on and to continue to be faithful. And Lord, for those of us who have slacked in some of these areas, God, I pray that you would help us. Light a fire in our bosoms, Lord. Help us to be consumed with wanting to please you and be consumed with wanting to have an impact. God, those of us who battle anxiety, Lord, we ask that you would give us victory over that so that we can live a victorious Christian life. As Pastor's been preaching Sunday mornings about, or Brother Nathan on Joshua and entering into the promised land, God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength we need. Give us a good service, Lord. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your hand to be on Pastor as he preaches your word. Father, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there be any unsaved in this service this morning, we ask that you draw them to yourself, and that today would be the day they'd trust you as Savior. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.